I want us to open our Bibles tonight in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's just read a few verses from God's precious word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll commence at verse number 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wield the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of those things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of being able to gather with this congregation this evening to sing Thy praises, to worship Thee, for Thou art worthy of all our praise and all our worship. We thank Thee for the day You saved us. You brought us to Yourself, and O God, so unworthy. And yet we thank Thee, O God, our Heavenly Father, for all Thy love and all Thy mercy and all Thy grace. We thank Thee providing an eternal salvation, which none will be able to take from us, neither shall any pluck us out of Thy hand. And so, Lord, we pray that You'll bless us now as we turn to Thy precious word. Speak afresh to our hearts, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for His glory. Amen. No matter how long that God gives a preacher and gives him to his congregation, it always comes to his final sermon. For some preachers, they don't know they have actually preached it, because unknown to them, perhaps sickness or death took him away, never having to preach that message or stand like me in this pulpit tonight. But for me, God in His providence has allowed me to follow His leading and be willing to step aside, having reached the 70. That sounds better than 70. Joshua, many years ago, knew in his heart that his final day had come. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, he said, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." And then he said this, "And ye know in your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing is failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof." On the 21st of July, 1968, I started an old-time gospel campaign mission in a hole-ridden tent on the top of Mullaboy Hill here. On the 6th of June, 1969, I returned to the hill to start my ministry at the tender age of 20. On Wednesday, the 16th of February, 1972, I was ordained and installed as the minister of Macrofelt Free Presbyterian Church. Now, it's hard to believe that in my 50th year as the minister of this congregation, it has come to the final sermon. As a people, we've climbed many a high mountain together of great joy. As a congregation, we have walked many a deep valley of sorrow. But the Lord promised to be with us through it all. As a youth,
I didn't understand when I came here at first how many challenges, how many heartaches and struggles that we would have to face that would lie ahead. But God gave me a promise back then, Isaiah chapter 43. And in that chapter, God told me to fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And you notice in that promise, it was when thou walkest through the waters, through the rivers, and through the fire. But we're going to go through. And thank God he never broke his promise, because he promised that I didn't need to fear, because God was going to bring us through those all, and that God would bring us to this moment 50 years later. I remember one of the first sermons I preached when I came back in June 1969. It was the tin hut, or rather, no, the wooden hall of Mr. Beggs. You just stepped out of the pulpit, and there's a little door at the side of it, and you stepped into the field. I remember what I preached on. I preached on Belshazzar. And to be honest, as a young preacher, the wheels seemed to be off the chariot. Everything seemed to be wrong. I remember stepping out into the field, and I sat down in the grass because there was no back building. I just sat down in the grass. To be honest, in my mind, I was going to write my resignation to the brethren here because I felt I was useless. I'm glad I didn't, because probably they would have taken it. But I was going to do that. I was so discouraged. And then the door at the side of the pulpit opened. And one of the brethren put his head around and he said, "Mr. McRae, there are two people that want to get saved. They want to come to Christ." I went back into that hall that day and I led those precious souls to Jesus. And God gave me a love and a desire to be a soul winner. For God says, "He that winneth souls is wise." This has been an amazing journey. Under God, we have seen the salvation of many, many precious souls, the restoration of those that have fallen. We started Mr. Beggs's old hall, and then into the tin hut, and then extended, and then this building here opened 40 years ago. Whenever we're talking about the building of this church, God burnt something in my heart. It was a text of Scripture that would be my watchword for all of my preaching ministry. There it is. We put it in the wall. Brother Barclay built it. Built it out in brick. That to remove it, you'd have to remove the building. It cannot be touched. It's a challenge for any preacher. It's a challenge that every time that Brother McKee steps up these pulpit steps, and anyone he invites into this pulpit will always have to remember, "So woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And friend, that's my last sermon. It's that text. In verse number 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel? There we have, first of all, the preacher's calling. Paul was called to preach. And all of those years ago, God called me to preach. Whenever God saved the apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus at that time, on the Damascus Road. He was racing down that road to persecute the people of God. And the Lord graciously stopped him. He was on his way to hell. He was religious, but he was lost. And God stopped him down that Damascus Road, and he was gloriously and wonderfully and eternally saved. And then God sent Ananias. And God told Ananias that God had chosen this man, Saul of Tarsus, this persecutor of the saints, this person who was in the depths of sin and iniquity, but God had saved him. And God says, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And that was God's calling, to be a preacher. And from that day, Paul preached. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He was not ashamed of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a preacher. And we haven't time to go into it tonight, but you read the passages of God's word in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 13, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. Preach, 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 preach. He was called to preach because that's the preacher's calling. And when Paul preached, he had nothing to glory off in himself, because he was called to minister, and he was thankful that God had called him to minister the gospel of redeeming grace. The preacher's calling, preach. The preacher's content, it says here in this verse, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And there's the content of the preacher. He's not to stand in front of the people and convince them how wonderful he is. He's not to stand and proclaim himself. He's not to declare his oratory. The people will say, what a preacher we have. But whenever the preacher stops his ministry, friend, and stops his preaching, that they'll be able to say, what a Savior we have. And what a gospel we have to preach. Because that's the content of this preacher's message, friend. It is the gospel, the glorious gospel, the mighty gospel of saving grace. The one who left heaven's glory and went to a cross called Calvary and shed his precious blood that our sins, which are many, might be blotted out, never to be remembered against us anymore. That there is pardon in the blood of Christ. That there is forgiveness for the sinner. There is liberty for the bound. There is peace to the brokenhearted. And it's all through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And for 50 years, I tried to preach the gospel. The gospel, what a delightful word, friend, because it means good news. And there is no good news like the gospel. We live in a world where there's so much bad news. We live in a world where there's so much sad news. But thank God, here is a book, and it has got glad news. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The dear lost sinners can be saved from their sin. That men and women can be delivered from the grip of hell and the power of sin that binds them. And that the Jesus Christ alone can set them gloriously free. Yes, the gospel is a delightful word, but it's a despised word. Sad to say, many hate the gospel. And there are those who despise the gospel of redeeming grace.
And they mock the preacher when he preaches salvation through the blood. Thank God there is power in the blood of Jesus. There's devil defeating power. There's sin cleansing power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's soul saving power in the blood of Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. It's a divine word. In Romans chapter 1 verse 1 it says, it's the gospel of God. Friend, I didn't learn this gospel in a theological hall. I didn't learn this gospel when I was with Ian Paisley as a young preacher. I didn't learn this gospel from any other one else but from God itself. It's the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. For it is only He who alone can save the soul from sin. It's a defining word. For thank God those who are saved will not be ashamed of the grand old term, I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul preached the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he gave us the outline of what it was. Its authority, according to the scriptures. And that's where you get your authority, friend. And that's where Brother McKee will get his authority as he takes over this pulpit from this night onward. He's to preach this book. It's this book is his authority. It's the authority of heaven. For this is none other than the infallible, the inspired, the inerrant word of the living God. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the authority of the gospel. And you hear a man stand up, and he hardly opens that book, friend. Let me tell you, he's not worth listening to. Because he's to preach this book. He's to preach it. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He says, young lad, preach the word. Preach it! And that's what God has called Brother McKee to do from this day onwards. To preach the word. To be instant in season. To be instant out of season. To reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because a time will come when they'll not want to endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want the truth. Let me tell you, friend. This is the book he's to preach. The authority of the gospel is the scriptures. The reality of the gospel. Christ died for our sin. And friend, we've got to get to the cross. I remember old Pastor Paisley. In his frailty, whenever I was introduced to him in the pulpit in Ballymena. The night that I was being interviewed by the presbytery. On the first occasion. And he looked at me and he said this, young man, make much of the blood. Make much of the blood. You see, friend, the reality of the gospel is this. Christ died for us. Takes you to the cross. And I'll tell you, if a sinner doesn't come by faith to the cross and realize that Christ alone is the answer for their sin and the blood of Christ alone is the power to cleanse us from our sin. We sing the wee hymn, the way of the cross leads home. We shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Oh, I tell you, you need to come to the cross. For there you see, Christ died for our sins. It brings the fact we're the sinner. But praise God, he's the Savior. He's the Savior. We have the authority that it is according to the scriptures. We have the reality that Christ died for our sins. But praise God in the gospel, there's a vitality. He rose again according to the scriptures. But thank God that takes us not only to an empty tomb, it takes us to an occupied throne. For Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears gone. You see, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. He's alive tonight. We don't stand at some gravestone and weep o'er a dead Christ. Hallelujah. We look toward heaven and we worship a living Christ. One who's alive. Thank God he's alive forevermore. The content of the preaching is the gospel. But friend, there's something else. There's the compulsion. Notice what it says here. Necessity is laid upon me. Laid upon means to press upon. He's compelled. He's constrained. He's duty bound. His preaching's not a matter of choice. He had not chosen to be a preacher. Paul didn't choose to be a preacher. But God chose him to be one. And because God chose him to be one, there was nothing else he could do but preach. He was compelled. He was pressed to preach the gospel. Friend, when God calls you to do that, nothing will stop you. Whenever we came to Macrofelt, we looked for a hall, but nobody would let us in. And then we looked for a field, but nobody would let us in. And then an unsaved man came forward and said, "Never let it be said there's no place in Macrofelt for the preaching of the gospel." He says, "You can come and set up your tent." And we did. And we came back to this hill, friend. And we opened a hole there in the front of the road. And people walked over a drain to get into the old tent, first of all. And then into the old wooden hall. And then into the tin tabernacle. But you know what we did in all those places, friend? We preached the gospel. The good news to sinners. You know what happened? People started to get saved. And lives got changed. And homes got rearranged. These are people in these meetings, this meeting tonight. Thank God, through the preaching of the gospel, their life was changed. Hallelujah, their destiny was changed. They'll never be in hell, but they'll be in heaven through the blood of Christ. And people laughed at us. And people mocked us. And people scorned us. And friend, they said it'll be over in a few months. But 50 years on, here you are tonight for the preaching of the gospel. Tell me, what kept us going? It was necessity is laid upon us. God placed a burden on our brother Sandy's heart to keep going. God placed a burden on those that then came and joined us and were a part of the fellowship. In the early days, our sister Ruth, Nan, Barry, And one by one, God started to fill up the seats. And God started to save the lost. And there's multitude in heaven tonight. That's blessing God that God brought to this hill an old-fashioned preacher of the gospel. God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Let me tell you, friend, over those years, people have said to me, do you never get tired, preacher? Yes, you do. Your body gets tired. But what took us to Brazil? What took us to the Philippines? What took us to Romania? What took us to Israel? What took us to Singapore and Australia and New Zealand and England and Scotland and Wales and the Republic of Ireland and Peru? What took us to these places, friend? Necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel. God committed to our trust the preaching of the gospel. But here's the last point. We talked about the call and the content and the compulsion. But here's the minister's condemnation. Listen to this. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The minister's accountability. And I can tell you this, when you stand in the pulpit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and God has called you to preach, that's what you have to do. In good days, in hard days, in sunshine, or in the shadow, you've got to preach it. There's an awesome responsibility. God places the stewardship of the gospel in the hands of the person that he is called to preach. I walked these towns and villages. I've seen the multitudes of men and women. I've seen many come, I've seen many go. I've seen humanity walking carelessly without a thought of their soul on their way to hell, and I thought those words, preacher, preach the gospel. I've stood, my friend, and listened as I've walked amongst humanity. I've heard the blasphemies and the obscenities that man has said, and my soul has been shaken as I've heard that. I've walked past the pubs of this town, and I've heard the tinkle of the glasses. I've heard the laughter of men and women in there as they put back their liquid damnation. And as I've walked down the road past to the street and realized that those souls are going to hell, I thought, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I've stood in the hospital ward. I've watched man lie there and woman lie there with their bodies wrecked in agony and pain. On the verge of God's eternity. And as I've stood there, I've thought to myself, woe is unto you, preacher, if you preach not the gospel. I've gone into churches for funeral service. And friend, let me tell you, there wasn't a word of the gospel. And there was a packed congregation. And I thought to myself, preacher, woe is unto you. What does that mean, friend? The curse of God. The curse of God. Upon a man that stands in a pulpit, looks into the eyes of a congregation, and he never tells them they need to be saved. He never tells them they're lost. He never tells them there's power in the blood to change their lives and save their soul. He never warns them of hell, of judgment to come.
What a curse of God upon him. Because he fails to preach the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I've stood in the open grave. I've watched men and women stand around the grave, friend, and when you preach the gospel, you see them either laughing and they're sneering at you. They say there's no place for that these days. And yet they're on the verge of God's eternity and the verge of hell. And God says to me, preacher, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. But when I think about that, if there is the woe of God and the curse of God upon the man who stands in the pulpit and doesn't preach the gospel, what about the sinner that has heard the gospel and rejects it? What about the tragedy of men and women that are sat in the house of God with faithful gospel preaching and have been warned about sin and the wages of sin, which is death? And they've warned of the day without Jesus, where Christ is, there'll never be. They've been warned that there's a gaping hell that awaits the lost, for the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. And yet they walk away and turn their back on Christ. Trample underfoot the precious blood of Jesus. Listen to me carefully, friend. The curse of God and the wrath of God will rest upon that soul forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In a lost sinner's hell. In eternity. Woe is unto thee if you receive not the gospel. It's my last sermon. But friend, I've got to be faithful. And if we never see each other this side of God's eternity, God forbid that I'll be called to speak against thee. To say, I warned, but they wouldn't answer. I pleaded, but they wouldn't come. And so, my friends, it has now come to this moment. You will never know, my congregation, how much you have meant to me. I haven't only been your pastor. You've been a part of my family. You've been my friends. That friendship will not end tonight. I won't stop loving you in my heart. And although some have suggested that I'm going to some unknown town somewhere to live, and Anne and I are floating away, well, I want to tell you, when you go past Ballyronan Road, the flag will still be up because we're still at home. But I have to say this to you. And I've said this to Brother McKee. There are those that I have not been able to get round, and time has beat me. I mean, I may be drop in. And I can't turn my back on my friends, but I have said this and I say to you, if I do, I simply come as your friend. I'm not coming as your minister. Your minister in this congregation from 12 o'clock tonight is Brother McKee. And I pray for him, and I pray that God will bless him, and I know he will. I pray that God will use him, and if he is as much joy in pastoring this flock as I've had for the past 50 years, then his heart will be filled with great joy. With this, I close. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, said this: I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even it is as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. I love this house. I love this people. And I will always carry you in my heart. And I pray for you. I thank the elders. I thank the committee for the time of fellowship we have had down through the years. And I know that the end is not yet, but the best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Men and women, boys and girls, I'd love to see you saved. I'd love you to know my Savior. Please don't leave God's house tonight without trusting him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt speak to hearts in this place. And even, Lord, tonight, in this very last night of the pastorship of this flock, Lord, thou knowest above anything else, I'd love to see souls saved. I'd love to see men and women born again of the Spirit of God. I'd love to see those that have sat for years run to Christ for salvation. Please, God, give us the joy tonight of leading some soul to Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't go home that way.
Go home with a friend. Go home with a Savior. And there's only one. His name is Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the memories. And look to the future.